Sundays, we're just talking about prayer. Specifically, the kind of prayer that Jesus modeled and the kind of prayer that Jesus taught. And just as a sort of starting point, we remember these stories in the Gospels where the disciples of Jesus see Jesus praying. And Jesus modeled a fairly disciplined sort of prayer. And the disciples would see that, but it wasn't just that they saw him being disciplined in prayer. Like, he was always going off by himself to pray. And they saw that, but it wasn't just that they saw him praying. What they saw was the difference that prayer made in his life. That's what they saw. And so they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And then Jesus gives them this prayer that we now call the Lord's Prayer. And I'm just going to look at just one verse of the Lord's Prayer today. That's it. Just one verse. This is the second part of the Lord's Prayer. Last Sunday we looked at the first line of the Lord's Prayer. The problem with memorizing Scripture is this. Now, I think memorizing Scripture is a good thing. It's not as common now in our generation, in my generation, as it was in past generations. Here's the problem. When you memorize something, it can become rote. And when something becomes rote, you can lose the impact of the words you're saying. And the impact of this line in the Lord's Prayer is huge. It's huge. Because in this one line, Jesus said, you know, all the stuff we were talking about heaven last week and how huge heaven was and like the majesty of eternity and then just the different ways that Jesus described heaven, a place with no more pain, no more tears. Do you remember all that? We were talking about that last night. Jesus is saying, now listen. Heaven in that way will come to earth. Now, Jesus isn't saying a little piece of heaven will come to earth. He's saying, well, just read it. Read it yourself. God, I want your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Not a piece of it. Like, this is amazing. That Jesus actually believed that all of heaven could come to earth. And we're like, how does that work? When I was about 8, 9, 10, we had a cottage north of Kingston. If any of you know that area, there's Harrowsmith and Verona. It's kind of in between Harrowsmith and Verona, a little cottage. My dad called that cottage a slice of heaven. That's what he called it. That's my little slice of heaven, he'd say. And the thing was a shack, and there were black flies, and it was infested with spiders, but that was his little slice of heaven. Do you have a slice of heaven in your life? Like, is there somewhere where you can go to just find warmth and peace and happiness? Maybe it's out on your deck in June. Do you have a little slice of heaven? You know what Jesus isn't saying? Jesus blows that right out of the water, because Jesus isn't saying, this isn't just a part of anything good. If you pray this prayer big on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus is saying the whole of heaven is going to come. And we're like, okay, look, Jesus, do you have any idea of the misery that's out there in the world, and the corruption, and the war, and the strife, and the disease, and the illness, and the lost jobs, and the economy? And Jesus is like, you're asking me if I'm familiar with misery? I spent my life out there. If you go through the gospel stories, Jesus' whole story is about being in the middle of the misery of the world. And Jesus is like, I know your misery. And please don't forget how I died. I know misery. And I'm telling you, if you pray this prayer, God, may your kingdom come, may your will on earth as it is in heaven, it's not just a part of heaven that's going to come, it's all of heaven that's going to come right into your life. And we're like, wow, how can that happen? And Jesus says, I'll tell you, I'll show you. It started at Christmas time, didn't it? Do you remember Christmas? Seems like a long time ago. All the things we do at Christmas here, it's just an amazing season. I love it. But it started at Christmas where God sends, and this is the Christian teaching, God sends Jesus into the world to be the presence of God for us, the incarnation of God. Like, that's heaven coming right to earth, because God loves the world and God wants to be a part of who we are. That's the teaching. It started at Christmas time, heaven coming to earth. And then Jesus takes that, a little bit later in his life, he says, there is a spirit, and Jesus called it the Holy Spirit, that will be among you, and that's the living presence of God with you. And it's not just a slice of the living presence of God, it's the whole presence of God that's with you. Jesus called it the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that Spirit is with you. That's the second part of heaven coming to earth. And now Jesus turns to his disciples in his prayer. And he turns to us all these many years later. He turns to us and he says, here's what you need to do now to bring heaven to earth. Here's what you need to do. And he says, you need to pray as I pray. You need to pray, may your will be done. That's what you need to pray. But you don't just need to pray that. You need to pray it and mean it. And they're like, oh. And Jesus said, look, if you pray, thine will be done, God. I'm going to put your will ahead of my will. Here's what I want to do, my interest, my relationship, my everything. I'm going to put that over here, and I'm going to look at you, God, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to relegate my life to your will. And Jesus said, if you do that, if you pray that and you mean it and you do it in your life, heaven will come to you. Heaven will come. See, this is a challenge. This is a huge challenge to pray, God, I want your will to be done in my life. That's not a natural thing for us to do, to pray that prayer, is it? That's not an easy thing, to put my will over here and to look at God and say, because we're like, it's my money, it's my desires. I have a plan for how I want my life to go. I have a road I'm walking on. Me and Frank Sinatra have been singing together for a long time. I'm going to do it my way. Regrets, I've had a few. But more, much more than that. I'm going to do it my way. It's my agenda, it's my plan. It's my road, my money, my family. My talent, and do it my way. No, it's not, Jesus said. It's not yours. You got to do this God's way. It has to be God's way. And when you pray that and mean it, heaven will come to earth. Huh. Well, what is your will then, God? What is your will? Jesus says, I'll tell you. I'm getting to that. What, do you got somewhere to go? Will you just relax? I'm going to tell you what God's will is. And he does. But he says, look, please understand that this just is not a slice of heaven. This is the full Monty. This is everything. God, I want your kingdom to come. This is what I'm praying right now. And it's going to come to earth as it is in heaven. It's the same. And so Jesus said, you know what? There are two roads in life. And everybody that's born and everybody that dies walks on one of these two roads. And one of the roads is wide, and most people walk on it, and that's the road of my way. That's the road of people are saying my way, I'm going to do things my way, my relationships, my life. That's the road that most people walk. And Jesus said there's another road. It's narrow, and it's harder to walk. And that's the road that people who make the decision, I'm going to do things God's way, and I'm going to pray that prayer. May your will be done. That's the road they walk on. And it's a harder road. But there are two roads. There's a story in the book of Exodus. Exodus has some great stories in it. Have you ever heard somebody say that the Old Testament is boring and irrelevant? Have you ever heard anybody say that? With all due respect, anybody that ever says the Old Testament is boring and irrelevant has not read the Old Testament. Because if you read Genesis and you read Exodus, these stories are just full of intrigue and human nature and God's nature and how they come together, and there's drama and there's so much truth. The story in Exodus of Moses. Moses and Aaron, as you will recall, were called by God to go to the Pharaoh of Egypt because the Pharaoh had been keeping the people of God in slavery. And so Moses and Aaron go to the Pharaoh, and they approach the Pharaoh, and Aaron says, because Moses didn't like to talk, Aaron said to the Pharaoh, let my people go. And the Pharaoh's like, I don't think so. And Aaron said, our God is the God who hears the cries of the oppressed. Yeah, well, Pharaoh said, whatever. I'm not letting anybody go. Do you know this story? Listen, so God sends the plagues. First of blood, then frogs, then flies, then gnats, and then the livestock to try to get the message across. And all of Pharaoh's advisors are saying to the Pharaoh, you know what? It seems to be the will of God that the people be let go. And Pharaoh's like, I don't think so. And so God sends more plagues. Hail, locusts, darkness, the river turns to blood. Finally, the Pharaoh says, let them go. And they leave. And then the Pharaoh changes his mind. And he goes and chases them. And then the entire Egyptian army is drowned in the Nile. What a great story. The point of that story is that Pharaoh caused so much destruction to his people in Egypt and to his family and to himself because he refused the will of God. That's what that story's about. It's about colliding wills. And there's a little bit of Pharaoh in each one of us because we just want to walk the wide road saying to God, God, I'm going to do it my way. How many of you, I'm willing to bet that most of us here, how many of you would say this? I have known for years what God wants me to do. In the deep places of my heart, I know what God wants me to do, but I'm resistant. How many of you would say that? You need to put up your hand. It's a story. The Pharaoh's a story about us because it's hard to do God's will, and this is a challenge to say, your will be done. It's a mammoth confession. And that's why Jesus started the prayer with this. That's why Jesus started the prayer, which we looked at last Sunday with our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus says, what I want you to do when you start to pray any prayer is I want you to put yourself in that majestic presence. And I don't want you to rush through it, because that's what we tend to do when we're praying as our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be. Jesus said, I want you to not rush through it, but put yourself in that presence because it will give you a context for your life. And it will give you perspective. And it will help you to understand when you say, my relationship, my life, my money, my friends, my plan. Rest in that verse. Rest in it. Don't, because the longer you stay there, Jesus says to us, to the degree that it begins to sink in, it affects every facet of the prayer that follows. Our Father who art in heaven, you're huge, you're eternal. You're infinite. Your plan goes beyond anything that I could even imagine. And I'm just going to stay there for a while because that's where life change happens. And Jesus said, if you don't stay there long enough, you're not going to understand or you're not going to have the strength to pray this part of the prayer. If you don't stay in the first part long enough, you're not going to see why. You're not going to see why you should relegate your will to God's will. God's will is so much bigger than you. Kingdom takes precedence over mine. Your will over mine, as scary as it is, I'm just surrendering everything. I'm surrendering everything. And so they said, well, what is God's will for us, Jesus? You still haven't told us. And then Paul's hand goes up. And Paul's like, Jesus, can I tell them? Paul didn't actually know Jesus. Paul came about 20 years later. But Paul wrote half of the New Testament in letters that he wrote to church. Paul says, I'll tell them. I'll tell them what God's will is. And this is what Paul says. This is what Kathy read. Simple. You know, sometimes we think, how could we possibly... Paul's just making this simple. Here's what he says. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices in Romans 12. Now, when the people with Paul heard that, they didn't know, they didn't have any idea what he was talking about. Just like we read that, what are you talking about? The people back there, like, Paul, what are you talking about? Because what they did in their church, in their temple, was they took live animals and they put the animals on the altar and they killed the animal as a sacrifice to God. They killed the animal. And they're like, Paul, what do you want us to do? You want us to put ourselves on that altar? And Paul's going, no. Well, tell us. He's going, okay. It's just simple. Listen. So what Paul says. This is how you offer your bodies as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Don't think of yourself more high than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Paul, you're saying be humble? Is that what you're saying? Be humble? Like, you're saying my will isn't the most important. Yeah. My will isn't the most important thing. Yeah, but isn't that what we've been talking about in the prayer? We've been praying, thy will be done. But Paul says, look, here's the difference. Paul's going, I know that's what you've been praying, but here's what I want you to do. Live it out with people around you. Live it out with people. Say to him, say to her, say to your wife, say to your neighbor, say to your husband, I'm going to put your will ahead of my Paul's going in. Paul says, if you do, it will change the world, and heaven will come to earth. It's the first, just think about this, this is true. It's the first part of loving someone. It's the first part of loving someone, putting their needs before your own. It's the first part of loving your wife or your husband. It's the first part of loving your friends. Hey, why don't I focus more on what's important to you than what's important to me? Saying your will be done to the people around you has saved marriages, and it's restored friendships, and it's welcomed in the stranger. Put the needs, Paul says, of others before yourself, and heaven will come to earth. I bet there's people here right this morning, people among us, who have experienced that. That's just what I'm thinking. I bet there's people here who would say, I have an example of that. When I put that person before myself, amazing things happened. When I relegated my will to that person's will, it just changed. It changed our house. It changed the work environment. It changed things. And Paul's hand goes up again. Hold on, there's just another part to this. There's one more part and then I'll be finished, Paul says. There's one more part to understanding what God's will for us. It was part of the readings from Romans 12. He says this, remember, you're all gifted, everybody's gifted, everybody has a gift according to the grace given to each of us. And then he goes on just to list some of those gifts, but listen, here's what we miss when we look at this. If you've seen this before, here's what you, if your gift is prophesying, might be not be a lot of prophesiers here, but then prophesy. Look, if your gift is something, then use it. If you're a prophesier, then do you know what happens with, if your gift is faith, or in accordance with, if your faith is to lead, then do it. What happens with us is that we have a gift, and we might even know what that gift is, and we've had that gift for a long time, but we don't use it. Like Paul's just saying, you're all gifted, you just better be using your gift if it's serving. Anybody here able to serve? Well, yeah, I can serve, then serve. Like, if you have a gift, use it. Just make, if it's teaching, then teach. That's all Paul's saying. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's to give, then, okay, wait a second. Paul, you're saying that sharing what I do well with the world and not just using it for me will bring heaven to earth, and that's the will of God? Well, Paul says, please. It's not me saying this, it's Jesus. Please understand. Don't praise the messenger. But yeah, sharing what you have will bring heaven to earth. Jesus and his disciples were out one day teaching. And there were thousands of people, the story says. And at the end of the day, the disciples said, these people don't have any food to eat, we're going to have to send them home. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And they're, Jesus, we don't have enough to give them. We don't have enough. And a little boy walks up, and the little boy holds out the little lunch he has. And the little boy says, I'll share what I have. And Jesus takes that lunch from the little boy and blesses it. And thousands of people are fed. And the kingdom of heaven comes to earth in its entirety, and it's not just a slice. And Paul's saying, if you share what you have, it'll come. You all have gifts. Paul, that's so simple. That's it? Yeah, that's it. Anytime sharing happens instead of greed, heaven comes to hand. Anytime caring happens instead of self-absorption, anytime we're willing to put the will of others before our own will and say, you know what? I'm going to put you ahead of me. The kingdom of heaven comes. What part of the kingdom of heaven could come into this place? I suspect when we're listening to this message and these words, we're thinking about our own lives as individuals, and we're thinking about how can heaven come into my life, because here's my issues. And that's fine. I mean, that's okay, and that's good. And the most intimate relationship we have is with God. Like, it's just, but I want to ask you this question. It's a bit of a different question. What part of the kingdom of heaven, or how could the kingdom of heaven come into this community of faith? And I would say, look at the kingdom that's already been here just this year. This is a card a card, a Christmas card. This is from a family who received a Christmas hamper. And on the front of this card is a lovely picture of snow falling gently onto a house, and there's a Christmas tree, and the words that say, peace, joy, and love. And it's a Christmas card that somebody just sent to the church, a family that received one of our Christmas hampers. I wanted to say thank you for what you gave to our family at Christmas time. It's been a hard year, but this made it so real for us. The things that we wish for at Christmas, like peace, joy, and love, they have come true. Thank you for bringing these things into our home. God bless all of you. Now, that card could have come from a family whose children went to the BBC in the summer. Or it could have come from a family who received food from the Salvation Army. Or it could have come from a family who comes to our community supper. Or someone who loves the Christmas story presentation, and every time they go, they say, I really feel the Spirit of God in that presentation. It could have come from, or it could have come from an elderly person who had a visit from one of our 30 pastoral care visitors. Or it could have come from a veteran who appreciates our remembrance evening services. Or it could have come from parents who received some funding for kids to go to camp. You have made it real for us. The things we wish for, like peace, joy, and love, thank you for bringing them into our home. Heaven comes to earth. It's not a slice. Jesus never said it would be easy. It's not easy. And one of the best lines ever written in a song, Bruce Colburn sings, you have to kick at the darkness until it bleeds daylight. Daylight has bled into this place because together we have prayed, may your will be done here among us on earth just as it is in heaven. I'm going to invite the band to come up and we'll sing together.